Last week, your clothing, so I talked about different reasons why there is a custom to eat chalavi, to eat milchik san shvus. And we mentioned three different reasons. My daughter told me on Shabbos that she had a fourth reason. Another reason why there's a mitzvah, or not a mitzvah, but a custom of eating chalavi. Back in Parsha Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And we know the story. He's hidden for 3 months. They can't hide him any longer. Put him in a basket. In the Ohr, Bas Paro finds him. And eventually Yocheved is the one who nurses him. And then he goes back, when he's a little bit older, to Bas Paro's palace. But take a look at the timeline. According to Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zion Adar. They hid him for 3 months, but they couldn't hide him any longer. So when did the 3 months end?
Iyar.
No. From Adar, 1 month is Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. So if he was born on Zion Adar, so the 3 months ended on Vav Sivan. And Vav Sivan is when he's put in a basket. Bas Paro finds him. The idea was to have him nurse from an Egyptian nursemaid. But Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, refused to nurse from any non-Jewish nursemaid. Gemara says that the pet that's going to speak to the Shekhinah is going to have Chalav Tameh. And because he went nurse from a non-Jewish, from an Egyptian nursemaid, Miriam comes along, suggests a Jewish nursemaid who might just be available, meaning Yocheved. And according to Chazal, for close to 2 years, yes, 24 months altogether, but close to 2 more years, Moshe Rabbeinu gets to be brought up by his own mother in his own house. And that was part of a nes of Cholov. It refused to have the Egyptian mother's milk, so he needed to have the Jewish mother's milk. And because of that added nes of the Cholov, so that's another reason why we eat Chalavi on Minak Chalavi on Shavuos, which is Vav Siva. So that was very nice. But I wanted to talk about another part of that story, part of the story that takes place in Parshat Shmos, that's connected to this week's Parsha, at least this week's Parsha in Eretz Yisrael, Parshas Baaloscha. A little bit of background to the story in Parshat Shmos. Chazal tell us, Vayelachish mi beis Levi, Vayikach as bas Levi. What does it mean, Vayelachish mi beis Levi, which was Amram? And what does it mean that he married bas Levi Yocheved? Chazal tell us, Halach batzas bito. You see, after Paro had issued a decree, Kolbein hayilod hayaora tashlichuhu, that any Hebrew male child, baby who would be born, would be thrown into the Nile. So Amram said to himself, what's going to be? We're going to bring children into this world to face instantaneous death. So we can't do that. So what did Amram do? He went and he divorced his wife. We can't live as husband and wife. We can't have children. We're bringing them into this world to be instantaneous death. So he got up and he divorced his wife. Amram was the Gadol Hadar. And if Amram went and divorced his wife, what did the rest of Bnei Israel do?
Divorced their wives.
They got up and they divorced their wives. Who turned the tides?
Miriam.
Little Miriam. 5, 6 years old. And she goes to her father and she says, your decrees are worse than Paro's decrees. Paro was gozer only on the males. You're preventing even females from being born. Paro was gozer only on Olam Hazeh. But the children at least would be zochet Olam Haba. You, if they never come into this world, they don't have an Olam Hazeh, they don't have an Olam Haba. And Paro, maybe his decrees will be fulfilled, maybe not. But you're going to create as a guarantee that there'll be no more Jewish children. So Amram listened to his daughter, and what did he do? He remarried Yocheved. Amram's a Gadol Hador. If Amram's remarrying his wife, what does everybody do? Marry his wife. And then Miriam, at some point, has a nevuah. And what nevuah does she have? That my mother is going to give birth to a child who's going to be the savior of Bnei Yisrael. Moshe and Shel Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu is born, the Torah tells us Vatari Shavatela Bain Vatero so Kitovu. So the child was good. Which mother doesn't think that her child is good? Rashi says, Kishanolad Nismale Habayis Kulo Ora. The house filled with some sort of celestial light is an amazing phenomenon. And they realize that something is special here. Amram went over and kissed his daughter. It seems that her nevuah is coming true. 3 months later, they can't hide him anymore. They have to give up the baby. They put him in a basket, and they put him on the Yaor. The Gemara tells us that Amram went and gave his daughter a patch. Hit her on the head. Not hard, but what's happening to your nevuah? Had a nevuah, and now look. You have to give up the baby, abandon him in a basket on the Yaor. What does the Torah tell us about Miriam? Vateisatzava chosome rachok ledea maye yasalo. Miriam stood off at the distance, according to some Mefarshim, the Tziv and others, to see what would happen, meaning she believed in her nevuah. She just didn't know how it was going to happen. Somehow or another, baby Moshe is going to be saved. She just wanted to see how. So she stood off at the distance to see from afar what was going to happen. And sure enough, the story happens with Bas Paro. Now, did Miriam know that she was going to play a role now in saving Moshe? That she needed to be nearby because she's going to... Doesn't seem like it. She's standing at a distance. She doesn't know how Kadosh Baruch was going to run things, but somehow or another, Moshe is going to be saved. It turns out that she was needed. Because she was there, and she saw that none of the Egyptian nursemaids were successful in nursing, she had this brilliant idea. I'm going to come and suggest a Jewish nursemaid. My mother. She was in the right place at the right time. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets to be nursed by his mother and spending some of the very early formative years of his life in his parents' house. What does this have to do with Parshas Balos? The end of the parsha. There's a story, not a terribly sad story, but not a great story. Miriam and Aaron are talking. Vatedaber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe alodosa yishah kushis asher lakach ki yishah kushis lakach. They say something that constituted some degree of Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. And Vayomru Arakach Moshe Diber Hashem. Moshe had separated from his wife. Why does Moshe think so? That he should do that? Didn't bother Moshe. V'yish Moshe Ana Mi'od Mikol Adam. But it bothered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Miriam immediately was stricken with tzara'as. Even though she was talking about just her brother, her baby brother that she had saved. Nevertheless, it was inappropriate speech. She has tzara'as. Moshe Rabbeinu immediately davens, one of the shortest tefillos around. How many words? Five words. Kel na refa na la. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, she'll have a shortened version of tzara'as. How many days? 7 days. Now the mitzorah has to be mechutz l'machane. There's a problem. Bnei Yisrael are in the midbar, and what are they supposed to be doing?
Traveling.
And what's going to happen to poor Miriam when they travel for a week and she is outside the machane? So the pasuk says, "Vatisager Miriam mechutz l'machane shivas yamim." V'ha'am lo nasa ade yasef Miriam. They don't travel for 7 days. Says Rashi, Ze ha'kavod cholak lo ha'mako. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave her extra honor, respect, even though she was a mitzora at the time. B'shvil sho'a achas shenit'ak v'lemoshe kishuhushlach la'yor. For the 1 hour that she waited to see what was going to happen to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Bnei Yisrael are going to wait 7 days. And the Or HaChaim points out that this wasn't only the Ribbono Shel Olam's decision. The pasuk doesn't say, V'lo nasa ha'am. It says, V'ha'am lo nasa. Says the Or HaChaim, Tola hadavar ba'am, V'lo amar v'lo nasa ha'am, Lo dia ki ha'am iskimu l'val yisu ade yosef Miriam. We're not leaving without Miriam. Sounds like that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said travel, they would have said, no. We're not going anywhere without Miriam. The Tosot, the Masechet Sota, suggests that the hour that the Medrash says that Miriam waited wasn't the full hour. Mara says, it wasn't the full hour. He says it was 15 to 20 minutes, maybe. Maybe a third of an hour. So I saw somebody made a cheshba. If you waited 20 minutes and in return they'll wait for you a whole week, that's 168 hours... Do the math. It's approximately 500 times the amount of time that Miriam waited. That all 2 million people, approximately, you don't know exactly how many, including women and children, only 2 million people will wait 500 times as much because you waited 20, she waited 20 minutes. An amazing investment. Your return is 500 times more. But what's fascinating? When Miriam waited for Moshe, so she saw unexpectedly that she played a role and she was able to get her mother to be the nursemaid. I'm sure she didn't forget what happened. But does she feel any sense of needing a reward for what she did? The reward was, okay, she was in the right place at the right time. 80 years later, she needs something. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches into her savings account and pulls out schar, which had grown 500 times. of the investment and delivers it to Miriam when she needs it the most. But people say that when you do chesed, you do a good deed, you know, sometimes you get paid back more than you give. But you realize how much more? 500 times more. It's a pasuk in Koheles, Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskom, chesed lo yuchal lihimanos. Second half of the pasuk, the Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskom, the first half is the crooked can't be straightened, and that which is missing can't be counted. The Gemara says, what does it mean, that which is missing can't be counted? When your friends, nimnu chaver of the dvar mitzvah, they join together to do something good, the dvar mitzvah, and you don't join them, and you miss the opportunity, that chesed can't be counted. Imagine if Miriam had decided not to wait to see what would happen with Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have brought about the Yeshua in many different ways. He has no shortage of assistance of helpers to bring about a Yeshua. She could have just minded her own business. She could have said, ugh, I have to wait, I have to walk, I have to go over to the Or. Everybody else went back home. Why am I staying around? But she decided to wait. And because she decided to wait, it wasn't a chesron shalo yuchal limnos. It wasn't something missing that can't be counted. On the contrary, she joined in, or she was the yozemet. She initiated. She was even by herself. And boy, did that get counted. And many times in life, many, many times in life, I'm going to be exposed to opportunities to do good, to be involved in the bar mitzvah and the chesed. And it's going to take some of our time and some of our effort. And sometimes we're more enthusiastic and sometimes we're very tired. Sometimes more into it, sometimes we're less into it. Sometimes you just want to stay in bed, don't want to get up. We want to crawl back into bed and we don't want to stay up. We should always do mitzvahs and do chesed, not because we should think about the great reward, al tiu kavodem ha-meshamshim nasarav al-manas l'kabel pras. But sometimes when it's hard and it's difficult, and we're worried about taking up our time, we need to remember that that's the best investment of time that you can make. Kadosh Baruch Hu puts it in your bank account. And when you need it the most, it could be 80 years later that you need it the most. But when you need it the most, we'll see how your investment grew astronomically, 500 times. Then you will be very, very glad that you listened to your Yetzer Tov and not to your Yetzer Hara. You gave up a little bit of time, just a little bit of effort to do a little bit of good. Because the rewards, are immense. I'll stop here. Say Perek Tehillim.